This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
This content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion advised.
There have been times when I have questioned my existence. I've wondered if my life since has been a very detailed death trip, and I'm actually lying on Sunset Boulevard, bleeding out.
So many slow hours with few customers. So many blind spots. So many opportunities to be alone with him. It only took a few minutes for a murder to occur on a beautiful day on a golf course.
From Killer Podcasts, true tales of horror, bizarre happenings, unexplainable events. This is Disturbed. Hello, and welcome back to the podcast. This week, we bring you five true stories that will startle and appall. So sit back, listen close, and dive into the horror. First, a story narrated by Matt Bradford about a childhood encounter with the Smiling Woman.
I was around 5 to 7 years old when this experience took place. I'm 22 now. It was one of the primary catalysts for my interest and inquiry into the high strangeness phenomena. The place in which this experience took place was my childhood bedroom. It's a very small room with creaky wooden floorboards, and the foot of the bed was facing a wall which was adjacent to the door on the left. The head of the bed was about a couple of feet away from the opposite wall, with the window being to the left of the bed on that same wall. I woke up one morning, presumably around 8 a.m. or so, and had this eerie feeling that someone was standing behind my bed in the narrow gap between the head of my bed and the wall. I turned around and was not prepared for what I was about to see. I saw a woman with pale bluish-gray skin and black, tattered, messy, frizzy hair. She was smiling ear to ear. The overall demeanor she gave off was as if she was getting some sort of sick pleasure from my fear as I saw her. She seemed menacing and of ill intent, and her teeth seemed like they were stained badly. She gave me the impression that she had some sort of disease or was ill. It was like seeing the face of a long-term meth addict, but worse. The one thing I won't forget about her appearance was her eyes. The smile was unnerving enough, but her eyes were wide and intense. I describe them as psychotic and hungry in appearance. She had her hands resting on the wooden frame of my bed. I didn't get a good look at the hands, though. I was frozen in fear, staring at her face. As soon as I saw her for a few moments, I woke up in my bed again. Whew, it was just a dream, was more or less what was going through my head. I checked behind my bed immediately, and as soon as I felt relief wash over, I turned my head to the foot of my bed to see her smiling again, even wider and more menacingly. I wake up again. This time I felt super paranoid upon waking up and woke up with my head at the foot of my bed. I somehow flipped around in my sleep. I saw her once more before waking up again. After the sequence of nightmares with this woman occurred a few more times, I finally woke up and didn't see her. I was extremely paranoid and was almost flinching, expecting to see her again. It's important to note that these dreams, I suspect I was fainting, well, they felt extremely real and lacked any distinguishing qualities that dreams typically have. The terror I felt was beyond anything I've felt in my life. But the story doesn't end here, though. Well, the final nail in the coffin that convinced me it wasn't a dream is what happened next. The rest of the morning was fairly usual until I was getting ready to go to a dentist appointment with my mom. Remember, I was like 5, 6 or so. I was getting my shoes on when I glanced down the hallway to my mom. The door was open, and standing in my room was the woman. This time, she just had a smug smirk on her face. I stood there shocked for a moment before I blinked and she was gone. The thing is, I saw her crystal clear, just as if I was looking at any other person. I told my mom, who just told me that it was my mind playing tricks. I never saw her again after that morning, that I remember anyways. I had a handful of other paranormal high strangeness experiences when I was a child, but those were different from this type of event. I doubt any of my personal paranormal experiences were hauntings because none of my other family members had anything happen to them at the time. These strange events just isolated me for some reason. Now, the strange thing is, if that anyone were to ask me if I had any ghost stories up until a couple years ago, I would have said no. The main reason being because this memory was kind of absent from my mind for most of my life, strangely. I suppose this was a response to a traumatic event.
Next, we hear a story from Reddit user NarrowMix, narrated by Kiana Bashful Echo, where, without our instincts, we could come close to a grisly end.
I was working at a small business in Iowa when a man came in for an interview. He was polite enough, didn't say much, but something just felt off. While my boss interviewed him, I stocked shelves, listening to the man answer our standard questions. What's your availability? Have you ever been arrested? Things like that. When he left, the manager asked me what I thought. There's something weird about him. I got really bad vibes. The boss kind of chuckled at me and said, "We can't deny someone employment because of bad vibes." I took out my phone and Googled the guy's name. He had been arrested a few months prior for threatening to shoot up a gas station after being accused of theft. He lied and said he had never been arrested. Is that a good enough reason to not hire someone? It was. And it may have saved my life. I remember September 2018, a beautiful clear day, the calmness broken by the sounds of police cars flying down the road. A student had been murdered in the middle of the day on a nearby golf course. She had passed a group of men who, very shortly after, found her things abandoned on the ground. Concerned, they called management, and shortly after she was found, stabbed to death, her body floating in a pond. Everyone was in shock. This was the second murder of a young student Iowa had in just a few weeks. Was it a disgruntled fellow golfer? A jealous lover? No. The young woman had simply been at the wrong place at the wrong time. She did not know her killer. He did not know her. He was a homeless man who was in the woods by the golf course, saw an opportunity, and took it. He had a fantasy about raping and killing a woman. The next day, the story made headlines, and plastered on the front was the killer's face. My stomach turned when I saw him. He looked so familiar. I didn't recognize the name, but then again, I've never been good with names. But I remember stories. I Googled his name. The same story about a man being arrested for threatening to shoot up a gas station came up, and instantly I knew who he was. It was the same man I had convinced my boss not to hire. At the job, the majority of the shifts, there was only one or two of us working. I would have been alone with this guy at so many points. So many slow hours, with few customers. So many blind spots. So many opportunities to be alone with him. It only took a few minutes for a murder to occur on a beautiful day on a golf course. So yes, trust your instincts.
You're listening to Disturbed. We'll be right back.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande, the host of True Crime Psychology and Personality. On my podcast, I explore and explain the pathology behind some of the most horrendous crimes and those who commit them. We discuss topics like narcissism, psychopathy, sociopathy, and antisocial personality disorder from a scientifically informed perspective. What is a narcissist? How do you spot a sociopath? What signs can you look for to protect yourself from these dangerous personalities? It's not just about the stories, but also the science and psychology behind them. So if you're interested in true crime or mental health, I'd encourage you to give my show a listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back, listeners. Next, we hear an account of strange, unexplainable events in the Alaskan wilderness, narrated by the talented Elizabeth Flood.
My great-grandfather used to homestead in Alaska before all the housing developments and heavy traffic. Used to be a really quiet area, very swampy, super cold in winter. You'd walk through the swamp and hit patches not quite frozen all the way through, even in the deepest parts of winter. Now, that in and of itself isn't unusual. Running water doesn't always freeze. It's a geologically active area. Like, there's reasons for that. However, my great-grandfather spent time in Ireland before settling in Alaska, and he liked to tell how, when he was there, he rescued a pair of fairies and made a pact with them in exchange for being able to see things nobody else could. He'd take them with him and provide alcohol to their liking. When he settled in the homestead, so he liked to tell it, he brought the fairies with him. So long as they had a drop of alcohol and good company in the cold of winter, there they'd stay. Now, we did see them on occasion at the swamp. Not just us kids, but the adults too. They looked like fireflies or balls of light, mostly in white, but you'd see one in red or blue now and again. Not like slightly red or slightly blue, like red M&M or blue M&M, but glowing type red or blue. We also saw them inside the cabin. Sometimes they'd follow you or all collect nearby while we were chopping firewood, but not always. The red one was almost always around when someone got hurt, and we were all fairly convinced it made bad things happen. I'm not sure if people outside our family saw them, but I do know everyone within my immediate family had at least a handful of direct experiences with them, and at least one negative experience with the red light, or fairy as my family always called it, present. The cabin had sort of a lodge-style design. The rooms were lofted, and to either side of the living room, kind of like in hotels, where there's an open middle section, banisters surrounding it, and the rooms on opposite sides. It doesn't really matter, except that from upstairs you could see either side of the wall dividing the kitchen and the sunroom, and on more than one occasion, you'd see the little balls of light would hit the wall and just keep going out the other side. You'd also hear whistling sometimes, kind of an echo of what my great-grandfather sounded like when he was drinking, and, as he liked to say, chatting with the fairies in his putter room. It would happen when you were in the swamp and in the house, and when you were the only one on the property at all. The homestead burned down shortly after my great-grandfather passed away, maybe 7 years ago, and so far, nobody's in a hurry to rebuild. I do wonder sometimes if the lights are still out there, or the whistling, but I'm not in any rush to go find out.
Our next story comes to us from Reddit user Striped Macaron and is narrated by Tanya Eby.
29 years ago, I jumped to a parallel existence after a near-death experience. Let me start by saying this will be long. My heart is already beating fast telling this story. Only those closest to me know that this happened until now. When I was 25 years old, I was driving home from work one night. I lived in Los Angeles at the time. I was driving on Sunset Boulevard heading west towards my apartment in Brentwood. For those that are not familiar with the area, there is an expanse of sunset near UCLA that is very curvy. It is two lanes on either side with no shoulder. It was 8:30 on a Saturday night, so there was some traffic. I was driving along, and all of a sudden, about 50 feet in front of me, I saw a car. But I was looking at the passenger door. A car had spun out of control and was perpendicular in my lane. I didn't have time to stop. I looked to my right and saw there was a car next to me, so I had nowhere to go. I instinctively turned my car all the way to the right, anyway. Once I had cleared the first car, I spun it all the way to the left, still trying to avoid the second car. While all of this was happening, I remembered a time with my mom at Disney World when I was 3. This is not a memory I have ever had. I vaguely remember parts of that trip, but this memory was not one of them. I realized then that my life was flashing before me, and I was going to die. I had never been so sure of anything. Every part of me knew I was about to die. I started screaming. To this day, I don't know if I vocalized anything or it was all in my head. I yelled, "No, no, this isn't fair. I'm not done yet." All the while swerving all over Sunset Boulevard. I suddenly stopped my car and I was now perpendicular in the opposing lane of traffic. I looked around and there was not a single car anywhere. It was like everything had been wiped clean. I put my car in reverse and proceeded home. I did not see a single car the rest of the way. I was only 5 minutes away from home at that point, but Sunset Boulevard on a Saturday night was completely empty. I got to my apartment and parked on the street. I didn't see one person. While walking to my apartment, I came to the conclusion that I had died, and because I said no, I was stuck in some limbo. I had never wanted my roommate to be home so badly. Unfortunately, she wasn't. I called one of my best friends and said, "I need to ask you some questions. Please just answer me and I will explain after." I asked her my name, my age, what city we lived in, and the date. Obviously, she was very alarmed. I explained that I thought I was dead, and I wasn't sure I was really on the phone with her. She tried to convince me that I was alive and that everything was okay. There was no way mathematically to escape it. There was nowhere for the car on the right to go. This moment has haunted me my whole life. There have been times when I have questioned my existence. I've wondered if my life since has been a very detailed death trip, and I'm actually lying on Sunset Boulevard, bleeding out. After many years of meditation, spiritual practice, and belief in quantum physics, I wonder what life I jumped into.
Finally, an anonymous story about a stalking in a nature preserve, narrated by Sarah Thomas.
My boyfriend and I were taking a walk in the woods the other day as a part of our anniversary. We love nature, so it was going to be the perfect day for us. We live in an area close to some big forests where it can get fairly isolated. Nothing extremely remote, and all the known trails are popular. But you can still find yourself alone in some densely wooded areas all over the map and get lost. Nevertheless, the park we chose wasn't even that large, and it was during broad daylight. But this guy still decided that it was a great day to spice up some couple's anniversary with whatever weird shit he was planning. Mind you, we're not big people. I'm like 5'7", my boyfriend is 5'5", so appearance-wise, I think we look like easy targets. We noticed him very soon after we went through the park entrance, which consisted of a historic site, a pond, and a lookout point that delved into a series of forest trails that we planned on walking. He was some 30-something Asian dude with glasses, wearing some orange and gray hiking gear. Just figured he was a solo hiker there to visit the same park. Well, he tailed us everywhere we went, rather closely, but just out of earshot. Down to the historic center, around the outdoor corridors, through the terraces and lookout points, and whenever I stopped to take a look at something for a while, he would sit on a bench several feet away and wait. My boyfriend and I silently noticed him the entire time. We kept an eye on him, but didn't mention him for a while. Just hoped it was all an awkward coincidence. My boyfriend wandered off for a moment to read a sign about the bat population in the area. As soon as my boyfriend leaves, this guy makes a fucking beeline straight for me.
Out of the corner of my eye, I watched him. All he did was walk very close behind me, like a foot away. I felt like he was sizing me up and seeing what I would do. I just watched him walk past me, watch him check behind him real quick as I stared back. My boyfriend immediately returned. In a low voice, he suggested we go check out another part of the park, and I agreed. So we turn around to walk to the other side of the main site, where there was a pond. The man turns around, immediately following us. At this point, it doesn't seem like a coincidence anymore. "This guy is creeping me out," I whispered to my boyfriend, and he agreed. He suggested we just leave, go back to my car. I agreed, but also, very afraid and unsure, I said that I didn't want this guy to see what my car looked like. So I suggested we stop at the pond first and maybe leave when he's looking away. So we did that. He stopped at the pond, and I was looking at some ducks. The guy circles the pond a couple of times. Each time, he walks behind us, very closely, and closer each time. At this point, my boyfriend is pissed off. So my boyfriend just starts staring this guy down, the most hateful glare, unabashedly just making it known that he is onto him. This guy starts breaking into a sweat, like he looks visibly nervous, and we could hear his breathing was a little labored. When he circled around us once more, he stopped several yards away to sit at a bench, occasionally glancing back at us. I kept staring too. Finally, when he stopped looking at us, we made a break for it quietly. We quickly walked over to the parking lot. This guy noticed us leaving within a minute, and to my shock, he made his way to the parking lot too. At that second, I felt my heart drop. It's one thing to be chased around the park. It's another thing to have someone trying to stop you from leaving the park, or worse, following you out of the park. I felt like everything was cold and buzzing, and my heart was racing. But I kept my cool and got to my car. As soon as we buckled up, I hit the gas. As I drove out of the parking lot, I saw the man getting into his car. It was one of those beige 1990s, 2000s cars. I think it was a Lexus. Well, he was getting into his car, and we made eye contact. He froze in place, stone-faced, staring at me, expressionless. It keeps popping up in my head. It was so creepy. I revved my engine and got the fuck out of there, sped down the hill and onto the highway, then went straight home. My boyfriend and I had a very nice anniversary after that, but the entire day we kept going, "Man, what a day." Because what the hell was that? I don't want to know what his intentions were, but they weren't good. That's all I know. I feel like he wanted us to go on the trails because that's where we would have been truly alone with him. Yuck.
Disturbed is a production of Killer Podcasts, a part of the Evergreen Network. For more paranormal and true crime shows, visit killerpodcasts.com. Follow our social channels at Disturbed Podcast on Instagram or Disturbed_pod on Twitter. If you enjoyed the show, please consider subscribing and reviewing on your favorite listening platform. Share your own true horror story at disturbedpodcast.com. Music by Epidemic Sound and Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. Our producers are Noah Fouts and Elizabeth Flood. Our audio engineer is Nathan Corson. Executive producers Bridget Coyne and Gerardo Orlando. Till next time, stay safe out there.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save